Now for more info.
Mark your calendars for June 27th as Country Rock Cabaret hosts Amateur Night. $500 cash will be up for snatch grabs. That's not all. The first 10 amateurs to sign up by calling 618-274-4500 will get a free pair of Cardinal tickets in the boxes, and the biggest prize of the night will be myself and Plowboy hosting and hanging out during the show. The event starts at 10 p.m., but get down there early and save your spot so Plowsy and I don't have all the fun.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Half-breed. Half-breed.
How I love the pace of the world.
Half-breed.
She's no good to warm. Both sides were against me since the day I was born.
Crossed over. If I ever had one cent,
as Limey would say,
I'll be rich.
I'd still.
I still shit. You know, why not, right?
There's just so much to be said in the words, I still.
Yeah.
It could mean so many different things, but you probably can figure it out.
Yeah. Or people would say, would you?
Would you?
Yeah.
That's too much of a giveaway. Yeah. I still maybe 50% get it. Would you? 90% would probably still get it. Well, you are listening to The Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinnon. Frank O'Pinnon. I just changed his name.
Here we go. We're up
there. I just changed his name. He thinks he's been saying it right for 36 years, and I just changed it. It's Frank O'Pinnon. Frank O'Pinnon. Let me start this over. You're listening to The Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinnon, minus Frank O'Pinnon. That's sort of like getting a French dip at Annie Gunn's without the roast beef. You just sit there and eat the bread and the cheese and the au jus. He's the meat. He's gone. So you're just going to deal with the bread, cheese, and au jus today.
Cheese.
I'd be the bread. Dan would be the cheese. Limey would be the au jus.
What's that?
That sounds British. Limey will be your dipping sauce for the day.
Sounds British.
Dan will be your hard bread.
The cheese.
And I'll just be the nasty cheese that some people like and some people don't. Yeah, I've got a whole new intro for him coming up in the 5 o'clock hour when we have fun with RB. That's his new nickname, RB.
RB. I like
so,
that.
So, as Frank has insinuated over the course of the last week and a half or so, for the last several months, really, he and his lovely bride and about 70 other listeners, about 70 other listeners, about half of the cabins of this 180 to 200 occupancy, three-level ship are about to go on an eight-day cruise down the Rhine River, beginning with a couple of days of debauchery in Amsterdam, which I could have paid extra to do and decided not to, thinking that probably wasn't a great idea, knowing my personality. And Frank and his wife are doing that with several of the other listeners, and Dan and I and Dan's daughter and Bill Cleveland are all embarking on this journey on Wednesday. But before we get to all that, very pleasant good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tim Woodburn. I normally do the news. That was Abby Schnabel, our intern. We give interns opportunities on this station when time permits. And that was Abby Schnabel, who's been a great intern here at the station. She'll be doing the news for us this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon, for that matter, as well. So she did a great job. Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips is behind the wheel of this show. A big shout out to everyone, if you will.
Hello, everyone. How are we today?
Behind the wheel.
I know, right? I like that.
Big Dan Strauss. It reminds me, every time I say Big Dan, I think of John Goodman's character in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where they called him Big Dan. Remember he was the Bible salesman who beat up George Clooney's buddy with the tree branch after he ate their pie and then robbed him?
Yeah.
That was Big Dan.
And I've only seen that movie like one and a half times.
It's so funny. It's so beyond funny. It's not even worth commenting on because it's so juvenile and ridiculous, just like this show.
Yes.
And in fact, we should play more lines from that movie in this show because it so nicely blends in with what this show is all about. So lots to talk about today. John Landoff will be joining us for a bit in the 4 o'clock hour. Josh Bauman, our tech analyst, our tech guru, will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Bill Cleveland will be along in the 5 o'clock hour. Mike Evans will be in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll keep the format of the show pretty much the same. And, of course, that means getting your phone calls involved as well. And, once again, a friendly reminder of those numbers. You can text or call the show. Limey is manning the text line. And you can call the show. Dan is manning the phone lines for the most part.
Yes.
855-282-8255. 855-282-TALK. 855-282-8255 or 314-621-0590. And in honor of Frank, as he is always wont to do, as I understand it, he had a history professor in high school who had an hour-long history class every day, and he would allow the students in the class to talk about whatever they wanted for the first 15 minutes of the class, and then he would guillotine it at the 15-minute mark, and they'd actually have to talk history for the last 45 minutes. That teacher's last name was Burke. And in his honor, Mr. Pinion has referred to the beginning of this show as the Burke segment, and in his honor, I will continue that with a Does Anyone Have Anything to Say?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Oh!
With the first of three people who likely will have something to say in this hour, Trevor Limestone from Birmingham, England, Trevor Limestone, Limey Phillips, it's all yours.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
So we all know that country music is kind of evolving right now.
I can't stand it.
It's going through some...
Hey, you know what? I love country music, and let me tell you why I love country music. Because country music tells a story. I just wanted to get everybody acclimated and used to people cutting in. And
baby steps. Yeah, and,
What I learned in the movie Blues Brothers was that there's two kinds. There's country and Western.
Yes.
I didn't know that there was. I didn't know there was a difference.
What's between Western music then?
See, when John Belushi and his gang go into a restaurant into a bar in the movie Blues Brothers, mm-hmm. and somebody says to the waitress, "What kind of music y'all play here?" And she goes, "Oh, we got both kinds, country and Western."
Yeah.
As opposed to country Western.
Right. Well,
it's a joke.
Oh well, I'm an idiot.
So, all right. Back to you, Limey. Sorry, buddy.
This is the newest country kind of song that's out there, and I got to say, I really like it.
How did you find it?
I found it through Facebook, because it's gone viral, because there's a stupid dance that goes with it.
What's the dance?
And I'm telling you, I can't even explain it.
Is it a line dance?
Well, kind of. It's like...
Is it like that Gangnam Style dance, where people just go goofy?
Okay, imagine line dancing mixed with, like, the cha-cha slide. All right,
line dancing with the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
All right. And
is there a name of the song?
It's called The Get Up, and it's by Blanco Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I mean, it's twangy. It's got that country twang to it. But so anyway, here it is. We're gonna listen.
Uh oh, you said it anyway.
The other song.
I just need you to get real loose.
There you go. Right. You hear the twang in it?
Little steel guitar.
Yeah.
Grab your loved ones. Or grab your love, partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're by yourself, no worries. Just follow after
me. Yourself.
Gonna do the two-step in cowboy black. Grab a sweetheart.
So this is the dance. I don't know why, but this song, I love this song.
Oh, turn it up. Roll it.
Right?
Let's hear it. Give us 30 seconds.
It, don't throw down. Take a sip. Put it out. Lean back. Put your hips in it. Let's have some fun. To the left, to the left now. To the right, to the right.
This is
now
the dance,
take your left hand and put it on your side. Gonna roll your shoulders.
Right?
Feel the slip inside.
Like a tub.
This next part's my favorite part of this time to shine. Gonna do the two-step and cowboy.
So, all right, so he gives you instructions on how to do it. What was that called, that line dance where everybody... did that, where everybody would go out together, and it was that stupid song they played at country bars where they did the kind of kick and the shuffle.
Oh,
the little
Copperhead Road?
No,
well, no, they're not.
It was a dance where everybody kind of went out, and there was a clap, and there was a kick, and there was a turnaround, and there was a backstep, and there was a front step. What was that called?
I have no idea. I wish I could tell you. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you.
I can't remember.
This reminds me of the song I played a couple weeks ago, right? Which is the Old Town Road, which was sung by that little Nas rapper guy. That Frank was kind of liked, but didn't really class it as country. So, would you, with the twang in that, would you class it as country?
That?
No.
Yeah, what we just heard there, would you class it as country?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. It's not pure country. I would not classify that on a classic country state. No, that has too much rap element in it.
Or really?
It has too much clubbing element in it for me to consider that country. I'm thumbs down.
I say yes, it's country.
Really?
And
based on what definition?
It'll be played on WIL and Kix or not Kix, the Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Kix is where we worked a long time ago, back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, people are blowing up our phones probably to correct us. I wonder how many mistakes we'll make in these 3 hours.
Oh, probably tons. Maybe. Are you kidding me? Absolutely
should
tons.
Should we keep track of how many mistakes?
Well, I mean, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, to me, I'm hearing the twanginess of the country music, so it has a country music feel to it. Would I call it specifically, like, up there with Dolly Parton or Garth Brooks? Absolutely not.
Okay, well, there's an appeals process in this country. You can send it to an appeals court. Play 15 more seconds. Let me see if I change my mind.
Okay, all right.
All right, cut it.
No.
It has too much of a bass guitar, too much of a dominant bass guitar element that I would call that clubbing music.
Okay, all right.
I would call that dance club music before I would call that country.
I would call it dance club music. Because it's line dance music that is appropriate for the dance club, because mm-hmm. he's pretty much like the lyrics are. He's just telling you what to do in this dance, but the musical side of it is country to me. Absolutely.
Well, I'm outvoted. That's fine.
Stomp your feet. Stomp your feet.
Democratic process. We got two yeas and one nay.
Trust me, people on the text line don't.
Did somebody call in with what that was called?
No. I just put him on hold.
Oh, okay.
What is it? The boots.
You want to talk to him?
No, it wasn't the boots, Gutin' Boogie. It was something that...
Achy breaky, huh?
No, but sometimes girls would drag me to country bars, and they want me to take me out there, and I didn't know the dance, so I wouldn't do it. But everybody knew it. It was a slide shuffle. You kick out, you turn around, you do this clap thing, you know, and there was a certain song that you did it to,
and you click your heels or something?
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
I can't remember the name of it. I know what you're talking about, because I hung out with the Well-Hungarians a lot, mm-hmm. and they are primarily country. Yeah. And a lot of people will get up and do line dances. Gotcha. And I know that that's one of them.
Is that your Burke segment?
That is my Burke segment for right now.
You want to cede the floor to John, or you want to do your Burke segment first?
I'll concede the floor to Carl first.
Carl left.
Yeah, Carl. Okay. Yeah, we can concede the floor to John.
Carl got hot. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing there? Yeah, was that the one they used to have on Channel 4, like late night? There'd be all these girls or guys dressed in cowboy boots and... They'd all shuffle their feet and turn all simultaneously.
That was WIL's. They had a TV like a line dance party.
I'm talking about a specific song, John. I'm talking about a song where as soon as they play it, everybody rushes out to the floor and they all stand in lines and they're parallel and they all do this dance in unison. And I can't think of the name of it.
You're not confusing that with the Blues Bash last week and the Donna.
No.
You talking about that?
Are you talking about
the Electric Slide or something?
Well, how does it go?
I haven't got a clue.
I would know it if you played the song. I would know it.
All right,
I know what it is. It's like you turn to the left. I know what it is. Yeah,
isn't going to be the Electric Slide. Now I think about it.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, but by the way, is this guy really a British guy, or is he just a guy with a phony accent?
He has been mistake free with a fake British accent for almost two years on the station. I mean, mistake free. He never slips out of character with that accent. No, you can't do that. That's actually one of the things, John, that amazes me about Frank Opinion, because when Frank Opinion grew up in Southern Tennessee and moved to Illinois, as he's told on the station many a time, as a high schooler, so not only is he an import to small town Illinois, but he also doesn't talk like the rest of the kids. That must have been awful, and he admits it was awful.
He talked like this. Hi, my name's my name's so and so, and I talk like this. I'm from Tennessee. What y'all name? You know,
he was outcast. You know, and for him to be able to teach himself to not talk with that accent, I'll bet $10,000 Trevor Phillips could not change his accent permanently in 5 years.
No, absolutely.
I mean, you could sit there and try, and every time you spoke, you would eventually slip out of character. Nobody can speak with a fake accent and not eventually slip out of character. That's how Trevor talks to answer your question.
Well, thank you.
Well, I think you do a good job there, Trevor. Hey, by the way, what is your take on this, with, you know, with these cops going down left and right. Don't you think they should have some kind of death penalty in this country? I mean, these guys
Yes, I think so.
John, that's way too serious for us to get talking about.
There's a death penalty in this state, but some prosecutors choose to go that route, and some prosecutors are against it. The one in St. Charles is in favor of it. The one in St. Louis County is not. I mean, it's that's a subject for another day, and that's a way deeper conversation than us band of misfits intend to get into today.
But Trevor, what do they do in England for killing police officers? What do they do?
We don't have the death penalty anymore over there, or they don't have the death penalty over there anymore, I should say. So you pretty much just get life in prison. But life in prison over there is life in prison when you do something of that serious crime. But you want to have a listen to this Boot Scoot Boogie real quick?
Yeah, John, thanks for your call, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you as always. Always enjoy him. So let me see if this is the song.
All right. I think this is it. Okay, come on. There we go.
Out in the country past the city limit sign.
No, that's not it. No. The name of it, it goes to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right, to the left. It's got that beat to it, and I just can't think of the...
I think you're thinking of the Cha-Cha Slide.
No, well, I don't know if it's a Cha-Cha Slide or not. I just, you know, I'm having a Frank moment where...
It's just brain fart?
Where I just cannot... Oh, I'm not a country fan. I'm not a country music fan.
All right. Is this it?
Clap,
yeah.
That's it? Hands.
Yeah, Cha-Cha
Slide. We're going to do the basic step. To the left.
That's it.
Take
What's
it back
called?
Now, y'all.
The Cha-Cha Slide.
One hop this time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right foot, left thumb.
There you go.
Left foot.
That's
left
it.
Thumb.
Okay, now kill it. I can't stand that song. I had to know what it was, but I can't stand
it.
That was it. So the DJ Casper, the Cha-Cha Slide, exactly.
Yeah, but that's not actually country.
No.
But they would play it in country bars.
Yes.
And everybody would go do the dance together because he was... And the reason I brought it up is because the song that you played, he was telling you, put your hand on your hip. Now do this. Now
he tells you what to do.
That's what this song does. It tells you how to do the dance to that specific song. All right?
And then there was the Cotton Eye Joe.
Right. Well, that's completely different. That's
Macarena.
Right.
The Electric Slide.
Right.
Like
and the Hokey Pokey, if you're going to throw that in there.
Yes, Hokey Pokey.
I used to play when I was a radio skating rink DJ. That was big when I was back then. Robert is up next here on 590 The Fan. Our number 855-282-8255. Tim Woodburn sitting in for Frank Opinion today, along with Trevor Phillips and Dan Strauss. Thanks for spending your afternoon with us. Hi, Robert.
AM and PM.
Thank you, sir.
Are you talking about the Macarena?
No.
That was such a big deal a while back.
That was huge.
That was in the mid-90s. And
was it 96, 97 that
No,
came
it was
out?
Earlier than that because was I was... It? Yeah, it was in 93. It had to be between 93 and 96. 96 at the latest because I worked for a team during those 3 years in Roanoke, Virginia, and we would play that. Our French-Canadian owner insisted on playing that at intermission of every song. The Macarena.
I remember in seventh grade, our gym teacher made us do that dance one day because it was raining outside, so she had to keep us occupied, and she taught us that dance, the Macarena. Horrible dance.
I hated it.
Horrible song.
It's just a big old line dance.
Yep. Nope. Robert, that wasn't it, but thanks for the call. Anything else?
Hey, so far, this is the best show you ever put on.
We should run that clip during the Best of Frank.
Yeah, right. I think I'm going to do that.
We should run this hour during Best of Frank, which Limey's going to run Wednesday through next Thursday. And that would be hilarious. Hey, Frank, we had the fans vote on it. We decided the Best of Frank hour was an hour that you weren't on the show.
Take a little clip out of it and email it to him. Love it.
Robert, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Appreciate it. Limey's had his Burke segment. Mr. Strauss, anything for the Burke segment today?
I do. I have something
for my
Burke segment.
Let's
I've
have it.
I've seen many people on Facebook complaining about the applause that Albert Pujols got over the weekend.
Complaining?
Complaining.
Why did you complain about it?
Saying that he is with another team, and I understand. And they say, I understand coming up his first at bat and applauding. But people wanting him to hit a grand slam, people doing a curtain call for him when he hit a home run, and it's like, and I get on and I just say, you know what? It's an appreciation of what Albert has done with the Cardinals, and this is the last chance you're going to get to see him play, actually play a game, because then they were saying, well, I can understand, you know, when he retires, and if they retire his number and comes back, then he'll get the applause, and it's like, no, we gave Ken Griffey Jr. a curtain call when he hit his 500th home run here in St. Louis.
That was one at bat, and that was for an accomplishment. You know, certainly this one's a little different. You know, my take on Pujols is when he left the Cardinals after 2011, the way that the National League and the American League plays interleague play is that the Cardinals in the NL Central will play all the teams in the AL East, either a home series or an away series. And then they'll play the next year all the teams from the AL Central in either a home or an away series. Yeah. In the case of the Royals, that's your interleague rival. They play them in both ballparks every year. The Cardinals' interleague rival, of course, is the Royals. Texas is Houston. You know, they do it geographically. And then the AL West, you play that team. You play all the teams in that division home and away. And the way the schedule was set up was that in 2011 when Pujols left, you knew the Cardinals were eventually going to have to play the Angels. It's just where would Major League Baseball schedule it? Would they have the Angels in Anaheim and Oakland and Anaheim, and then we play Seattle here or in the other team in the AL West here, Houston? Or how does it work? So the first time that 3-year revolving merry-go-round came around, the Major League Baseball scheduled the Cardinals to play in Anaheim. Okay, yeah. Okay, fine. 3 years from now, Pujols is going to have to come to St. Louis, and that'll be his 6th year away from the team, or his 5th year away from the team, whatever the year that was. That year, Major League Baseball pulled a fast one, and they made the Cardinals go back out to Anaheim again, and that's not the way it was supposed to happen. And I think there were some high-powered people that said, we don't want to ruin this Hall of Famer's return to St. Louis and mar the game. And I think this was orchestrated that well behind the scenes, they said, no, we're breaking with our philosophy of how we're going to schedule games, and we're going to make St. Louis go to Anaheim again and wait another 3 years to let tempers cool before Pujols comes back. And and at the time I was aggravated about it because I still wanted to see him when he was in his prime. He's not in his prime anymore. He hit a ball over Marcell Ozuna's head either Saturday or Sunday that hit the base of the wall and rolled back to Ozuna, and Pujols is standing on first base.
I know.
He can't run. Yeah. He's 39. He's hitting under 240. You know, he's not the same player he once was. We are so much better off that we didn't sign. But having said that, I do think Major League Baseball made the right decision, because I think 3 years ago it would have still been fresh. And it probably would have been a way different reaction than the fans had this year. Not a lot different, but I'll bet it wouldn't have been as warm. Because all the fans kind of know, hey, he's on his last hurrah. Whereas back then, he was still murdering people.
Yeah. And now, this is the last time you'll probably get to see him play in a live game.
Unless they miraculously would meet in the postseason. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to like the whole in the league and all that, do these games count at all? Like,
oh, yes. It's a regular season game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Huh. It used to be the National League teams only played other National League teams. And right. American League teams only played other American League teams. And American League had their own set of umpires. And the National League had their own set of umpires. And the only times you would ever see these guys play each other would be the All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
And then in the World Series. Yeah. And then they decided to begin interleague play about 15 years ago. Major League Baseball attendance was flat.
Mm.
And they began interleague play, and it jacked things right back up. I mean, there was a reason.
Why do you think they did it, though?
Look, take the Kansas City Royals, for instance. They were terrible when interleague play began. But when all of a sudden now they got to play the Cardinals 3 games a year, instead of playing another series with Cleveland or Minnesota or somebody else that's boring, all of a sudden now you're packing that stadium. It's all about the Benjamins. Those games are almost guaranteed sellouts. Maybe. Guaranteed sellouts in Kansas City. And guaranteed sellouts in St. Louis. Not that they needed the Royals fans to sell out. But it was, you know, but other teams were like that. You know, Houston and Texas, you know, all their fans would travel. The Dodgers and the Angels, guaranteed sellouts for whatever team was ever having attendance problems.
Chicago, the two Chicagos.
The Cubs and the White Sox, exactly. The Cubs never had problems selling out Wrigley, but God knows the White Sox did.
Mm.
And you know those games were going to be, you were guaranteeing yourselves 3 essentially sellout games. Not every interleague game was like that. But even to this day, the interleague games, I'll bet if you compare the average attendance to the interleague games versus non-interleague games, I bet it would be higher.
Well, and then you have teams like the Cardinals don't play the Yankees all the time in interleague play. But when the Yankees do come in, it's a packed stadium.
No doubt, because it's your one chance to see that player. Because the way it is now, you only get to see that player every 6 years. If you wanted to see Alex Rodriguez or Derek Jeter play in Busch Stadium when they were members of the Yankees for all those, I think they only played in St. Louis once or twice during their entire careers, other than the All-Star game that the Cardinals hosted 10 years ago.
Yeah,
but that was your only chance to see him. So, sort of answers that question, I hope.
One texter on the text line says that St. Louis still loves Pujols because of his charity and stuff, which he is still running throughout the area, and that they kind of like St. Louis fans want to prove that they're not like, you know, the Yankees fans or the Mets fans or anything like that. They can get a little aggressive with players that are no longer on their team.
There's no doubt he's loved, and there's no doubt that he still has charitable endeavors in this market. What Dan's original point was is that fans were complaining on Facebook. All right, Albert Pujols had what? 12 at-bats this weekend?
Yeah.
He probably had four in each of the three games.
Yeah.
12 plate appearances, I should say, because he had a walk in there, I know. Well, every one of those 12. And to Yadier Molina's credit, the fans that attended the Friday night game, I don't know how many of them attended the Saturday game or attended the Sunday game, but yeah. I guarantee there was fans, the majority of those fans only attended one of those three games.
Of course, yeah.
Some of them probably attended all three, but the majority wanted to get a glimpse of them and probably only bought one ticket. So, therefore, Molina, knowing that, not gave the fans on Sunday their chance to give him tribute because they hadn't been there Friday or Saturday to tribute the guy. So he went and stood in front of home plate and pounded his glove for about 10 seconds, and the ump would get out there and sweep the plate, and Pujols would stand there. I think they were even saying on the broadcast last night, Pujols is kind of like telling the audience, let's go. You know, this has been good, but let's get the ball rolling here. And even, I think it was Dakota Hudson. Or maybe it was
Dakota Hudson gave up the home run.
He did, but yes. I think it was Dakota Hudson but not on Pujols' first at bat.
No.
It was a seventh inning home run. But on his first at bat of the second game, when after this all had gone down Friday night, I believe it was Dakota Hudson that said in the paper, Albert kind of gave me a nod to say, all right, let's compete. Okay, this is all over with. You know, show me what you got.
Yeah.
Kind of, if you will. So it was cool. I'll tell you what, I can't imagine. I mean, hey. You know, the Blues fans don't cheer when David Backes scores a goal. You know, the Rams fan didn't cheer when you know, opposing players would come back in town and score a touchdown. You know, it wasn't like that. He was a special player. He's a Hall of Famer. And
he's in that group of the elite Cardinals, I think.
If he had been traded to a team that the Cardinals play every year, it wouldn't be like this. But it was an 8-year thank you.
Yeah.
It was appropriate. I don't think anything about it was inappropriate.
I don't either.
Now, when the fans booed Michael Walker for walking him,
I thought
that was the only uncomfortable thing that I didn't like. It's like, okay, you want to see the guy's hit 600 and something home runs. You want to see him hit another home run. I get it. But to boo Michael Walker for walking him instead of saying, what you're saying is, hey, gee, Mike, will you load up a nice fat one about weight high so Albert can crank one into Big Mac land so we can see another home run fight? These guys are out there trying to win a game.
Right.
You know, and so that was the only part that I found awkward was when they booed Walker for walking him.
Yeah.
But cheering Albert to get a hit, cheering him to get a home run, so what?
I know.
You know,
they've cheered other players before when they've made great defensive plays. They've cheered them when they've been coming off the field because the Cardinal fans are knowledgeable about baseball.
And to Molina's credit, I thought this was funny. When I first saw him do it, I wasn't sure if he was doing it because he wanted the fans to cheer for Albert longer when Albert hit the home run, as Albert's rounding third base, Molina reached down and picked up a fistful of dirt.
He did.
Right? And as Pujols got to the plate, the way the newspaper reported it was, as a joke, Molina threw dirt on Pujols' feet as he crossed the plate, kind of as a thanks a lot, pal, for all I've done for you. Now you're going to do this to us. I thought Molina was doing it after Pujols hit the plate so that the umpire would have to come out and sweep the plate and give the fans extra time to cheer. I didn't understand why he did it, but now looking back on it, I agree with the newspaper reporter. He did it as a playful.
Oh, yeah. Pujols even said that. They said, what did Yachty do when you crossed the plate? And
he
said, he threw dirt on me.
Right.
I love that.
They talked about this. I know they've beaten it to death all day on the station. It's a sports station until we get to this show, and then this show isn't necessarily sports. But we'll talk about anything you want. 855-282-8255. Anything else, Dan?
No. Right. I just thought it was very classy, and I thought everything was appropriate this weekend for Albert.
No doubt about it. I do have one thing. For the Burke segment, I wanted to talk about. I was going to save it for Josh in the next hour, but having happened what happened to me, and I know Limey will eat this up with a spoon.
Porn overload?
Oh, boy.
That's in the 4 o'clock hour.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to have to save that one. So Friday, I had a very high-end, high-tech home security system installed in my house.
Okay.
The guy came out. at 3:30. He said it would be a 3-hour job. It was a 6-hour job. Whoa.
What did you have done?
Well, I had exterior outdoor cameras installed, motion activated. They had to be tested. The electrical wire had to be run under my siding and everything, you know.
Is this because you're going on vacation?
Well, I'm also considering selling my house, and so I had a new fence installed. Right, I am going on vacation, you know.
Right.
It's just something I wanted to do to upgrade that. It's just always something I wanted to do. And so I finally found a special, and it was a good deal. And so he comes out and installs these cameras, and there was a glitch with one of them. So I got the doorbell camera, you know, which is motion activated. Anytime somebody comes to your door, it's like Frank has, you know, you can sit there and talk to the person. It also is set up so that anytime anything moves in front of your house, it automatically starts recording.
Wow.
The camera above my garage does that as well. The camera in my back porch does it as well. So I get this thing installed, and he finally leaves around 9:30 on Friday night, and I've got the app on my phone. We made sure everything was working, and I alarm the system when I go to bed, so that in case any of the doors open, you know, while I'm sleeping in the house, I don't just alarm it when I'm gone. I alarm it while I'm sleeping as well.
So you'd be waking up,
Because
sure,
I live by myself, right?
Of course.
Well, I start getting these ding, 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 ding. You know, I start getting these pings, and these cameras are so sensitive that anytime somebody would come down my street and the lights of their headlights would sweep across my driveway as they're coming down, this thing is alerting, motion on your driveway, motion on your driveway. God. And I'm like, all right, I gotta figure out a way to maybe pull this back or tinker with this. And the technician said, hey, I'll come back out. He's coming back out to my house tonight to tinker with a couple things.
Sure.
So I get these, right? Well, then I get another one, and I can tell right away if it's a headlight thing that has that my camera has detected. If it's a headlight of a car that set it off, because they show you a still image, and then you can hit play to watch the video. And the still image shows this darkened street with this light that's coming, so you can tell. But then there was one that was dark.
Mm-mm. Oh boy.
And they went off, and I still hadn't fallen asleep Friday night. And this is at about 10:30, 11 o'clock on Friday night, and there was something in the picture that I didn't recognize.
Oh boy.
And so I go to the video display, and I hit play, and there's two of them. I go to the video, and I saved them, because I want you to look at this, because I still haven't, I think I know what it is, but I'm still not quite sure. I see this, and it wasn't a bat, because there was a couple that I saw eventually that was a bat. A bat is a very small animal. A bat is maybe as big as if I make the OK sign with my pinky and my thumb. I mean, it's about yay round.
It's tiny.
About as big as an Oreo cookie, you know, and they're small. A big Oreo cookie. Well, whatever this was had wings, and it flew in front of my camera, and it appeared white, and it appeared in a flash, and it zipped by my camera, and then it was out, right? And then it was gone.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, another video came right behind it, and this camera's 12 feet off the ground. This thing flies by my camera at 12 feet off the ground. It does a dive bomb to my front porch, where I have mulch and some bushes and stuff. It does a dive bomb, hits the ground, and then it shoots straight back up in the air like a rocket.
Whoa.
That sounds like an owl, tell you the truth.
What was it going after?
Probably.
Can they see that well at night?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They can. That was probably
it could
going
be a
from,
rat or anything.
Yeah, a mouse.
Well, this video, squirrel? This video that I have on my phone, it freaked me out, because this thing was large, and it was flapping its wings so fast. I even tried to pause play, and I couldn't get it to still long enough to where I could actually make out what this was.
Let's have a look at the video. My reasoning for saying that it's probably an owl is, one, the time of day, they're nocturnal animals. Two, I doubt it would be a barn owl, but there are several different types of owl around here that would have a light or a white underwing. And also just the way that they fly. That's how they do. They kind of circle and then dive bomb, and then they're gone like a rocket.
So the first video, it kind of curls down to where my trash cans are, and it flies back up in the air.
Right.
And then the second video, let me see if this is the one.
There are a lot of owls in this area.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, a lot of different ones,
too. How can it go so fast?
Oh, owls are quick.
Owls are a lot quicker than
you think.
I want you to watch this.
There are some interesting facts about owls when it comes to flying.
Watch this and tell me.
All right, I got you. I'm watching the video.
Yep. And it's just my driveway and my trash cans, and this thing flies through, dive bombs down to the concrete, and then it goes right up in the air like a rocket. Like, it goes straight up. You think that's an owl?
I mean, well, either that or it's just a really giant moth or a bug or something.
Maybe.
It depends on...
That moth or bug would have to have a wingspan the size of my head.
It depends on how close it is compared to how close it is to the cameras. Because you can see in the background, you've got your trash cans. I can see them. Yeah, that could be... Yeah, that might be a moth, actually. I think that's just a moth really, really close up. And it looks like it's going all the way down to the ground, but it's not. That would be my thing, because if you look at its wings, it's kind of...
They're not full.
They're not full, but also a bird's wings kind of come to an elegant point at the end, and those look more rounded. But either that, I'd say a bug or a moth. I mean, or an owl.
Wow.
It freaked me out. And I have small dogs, so I'm like, oh my god! I mean, whatever this thing is, could it lift my dog? You know, and I've seen those videos on YouTube as well. So
maybe it's an owl moth.
An owl moth.
Yeah,
it's called a mowl.
An owl.
It's a mowl. It's a moth whose head does a complete 360, and it eats rats. So.
Man, that's weird.
Hey, guess what? There is such a thing as an owl moth.
There is?
Yeah, I kid you not. Yeah, there you go. All right, so.
An owl like a moth or just
a
moth?
Well, no, it's called that way because on the back of its wings, it has an owl-like face to it or owl-like eyes on the back of its wings. So, fun fact, there's also a giraffe moth.
Really?
So, yeah. But that's about as much as I'm talking about moths right now.
So getting back to the Cardinals game last night, I couldn't help but think of an NCAA game that was played in St. Louis when they were still playing at the old arena / Checkerdome, and the NCAA had a Final 16. I think it was DePaul that played here. And there was a team that was up by like 16 with about 4 minutes to go, and the fans all started to leave the arena. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, if you left the arena, you couldn't get back in. And the other team came back and won. It was a big story. I attended the game, and I was a kid. It would have had to have been in the 80s, and I don't remember. Wake Forest comes to mind, or DePaul, or somebody. It was this ridiculous comeback that a team had in the arena. Check. So last night, the third and final game of the Cardinals games, the Cardinals are losing 5-0, and I go to bed. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, another terrible offensive performance by this team. It's feast or famine, and so forth and so on. So I went to bed. And I woke up this morning and I saw the final score was 6-4. And then I looked at what happened in the ninth inning. The Cardinals lose 6-0. 6-0. They're losing with 2 outs in the ninth inning. And you know, half the crowd had to have left the game. If not more. Nobody wants
to.
When it's 6-0 Sunday night, it's time to beat traffic. It's time to start worrying about Monday's work day and so forth and so on. 6-0, 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. And DeJong makes an out and Goldschmidt makes an out. Nobody on, 2 outs. And all of a sudden, you know, Ozuna gets a hit, and then the next guy gets a hit, Molina gets a hit, and then, you know, all of a sudden Wong hits a two-run double, and then all of a sudden, Jose Martinez hit a home run to give him the first one. And then, you know, the next guy gets a hit, the next guy gets a hit, now Wong hits a two-run double, now it's 6-3, now another guy gets a hit. Now all of a sudden, Carpenter, who finally got a hit, albeit an infield hit, now with 2 outs in the ninth inning last night, it was 6-4, and the Cardinals had runners on first and third. They had the time, and I just wondered to myself, I wonder how many people left the game last night thinking there's no way they'll come back, and we're just, you know, banging on the dashboard. Why did we leave? Why did we leave? Why did you make me leave? Why did you make me leave? You could stay one more. I wonder how many fights started in cars on the ride home because they had this huge rally.
I will never leave a game early, especially a baseball game, because of that reason. My dad, when we were kids... My dad would go, let's go beat the traffic.
Yep.
On a situation just like that, we'd leave in the seventh or eighth inning, driving down Highway 70. I can almost picture where we are. Mm-hmm. And he'd have the radio on, and all of a sudden a miraculous comeback or some huge, enormous play that was like, oh, my God, it's the play of the century. And it's like, I will not leave a game because of that.
I am that guy when it comes to about the eighth inning, whether they're winning or losing. If I can see the big crowds making their way, I'm like, all right, I think I'm gonna head on out here. But the only time that's ever really happened to me was Game 6 of the 2011 World Series when Freeze made that win. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, all right, you know what? This game is over.
I'm
going to bed. No. I was living down in Raleigh at that time, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to bed. I'll watch the highlights on Facebook in the morning. And that's when my missus at the time like came up. They've equalized now, and oh, nope, now they've won, and they're going to Game 7.
I was at that game. the greatest baseball game I've ever been to in my life. Just for the aspect of how they came back. And everything, and the shock value and everything. But we were out, I was sitting out in the bleachers, in the left field bleachers.
Wow.
And there were some people from Texas that were there, and we had two outs, and they are taunting and screaming at the Cardinal fans. And finally, somebody turned around and yelled, and this guy, this Texas fan, started screaming and yelling. The ushers came and took him away.
Wow.
And
wow.
got him out of the stadium. Oh, and I just said, I do not want to see the Rangers win it here. I just don't want to see it. And then all of a sudden, boom, the freeze hit over Cruz's head, which I thought Cruz probably should have had that ball, but and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we're tied. This is insane. And then what was it, a couple innings later?
It was an extra innings.
Yeah, we went to extra innings, and then Freeze hits that one, and we're just watching it go, and it was like euphoric. It was like when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. Right. It was like, this is the most unbelievable game I've ever seen.
And they kept showing Nolan Ryan at the time was the executive of the Texas Rangers. Yes. And he was sitting right behind their dugout, and he had his big winter coat on. He had the big smile on his face. I thought he did everything but bust out a cigar and start smoking it like Red Auerbach.
Yeah. The Texas fans were celebrating already.
9 minutes to the top of the hour. Josh Bauman will be along in the 4 o'clock hour to take your tech calls and answer some tech questions from you as well. Johnny Landolf also be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. We do have about 8 minutes to go here though until the top of the hour. And I know Limey's a big soccer fan. I'm a huge soccer fan.
I'm loving this World Cup
right
now.
I had big money on the U.S. women, to win today.
Yeah.
So I can get even back with the bookie before I head off to, Europe. And I watched the game today. And they were so dominant in the first three games. They beat Thailand 13-0. They beat Sweden 2-0. The other game, I believe, was against Chile, and I believe they won 3-0. So it was 18-0 in goals scored versus goal out. The USA comes out dominant today.
Mm-hmm.
They scored on a penalty kick goal by Megan Rapinoe, who's the little short-haired gal with the purple, who dyed her hair purple.
That was like the first 7 minutes.
It was in the seventh minute of the game. So they're up 1-0, and you know Spain. In their first three games, they tied one and they lost one. You know, I think they only scored two or three goals in their first three games. So our goalkeeper goes to take a goal kick, and the one player on the team from St. Louis, Becky Sauerbrunn, is playing defense. The goalkeeper takes a goal kick. Everybody has to clear the penalty box, you know, unless it's on your own team. So instead of drilling one to the half line or hitting
one side of the field,
hitting one way outside or something like that, there's four defensemen she kicks it right to Sauerbrunn, who's standing in the middle of the penalty box, right outside the penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the gal thought the ball was coming to her. And when it did, I think she was so shocked and surprised that she turned around and coughed the ball up, and it was a clear turnover.
Right.
She coughs it right up to the Spain defender, and the Spain defender took about two steps and rips it past our goalie for the first goal we've allowed in this entire tournament, and it was 1-1 until, and I'm like, now if you bet on a team to win, I know there's not a lot of gambling addicts on the show, maybe there are, who knows, but if you bet on a team to win through an online website or a legal sports gambling website, if it goes to penalty kicks, you lose, even if they win, because that's considered a draw.
Huh.
A penalty kick win is considered a draw with a win in penalty kicks. So when you go to bet on soccer, you either bet on the team to win, you bet on to lose, or you can bet the draw that it'll go to penalty. So they scored that one goal. I'm like, okay, fine. Then we have all these chances in the first half. We can't bury any of them. It's 1-1 at halftime. In the second half, I mean, it's just like the Blues and the Bruins in the Stanley Cup final. There was either a game where you got bounces and you got calls, or you didn't. And there was two huge calls in the second half, and they both went Team USA's way. We had a penalty kick that was initially awarded by the referee, and the Spain players were going berserk. Then she agreed to go look at it on TV replay, and she does that. Even the announcers are like, that's pretty soft. I wouldn't be surprised if she overturns it. She allowed the penalty kick to stand. U.S. buries the penalty kick to go up 2-1. With about 5 minutes to go in the game, Spain sends one into our box, and we haul this gal down like a dump truck hitting a dog on the street. I mean, this gal just got hammered down on a long intro pass from outside the box. No call. We go back the other way, kill off the clock, and win the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we got lucky this game. I'm not like they both played good. The defense was strong, and both teams were going at it, but without those penalty shootouts, I do not think the U.S. would have got through. The U.S., they had shots on the goal, but they didn't score a goal while playing. Spain did. And Spain was kind of like, they seemed a little bit more aggressive as the second half went on. But Rapinoe, obviously, when it comes to penalties, she knows where she's going to put it. The first goal, she made the goalie, the Spanish goalie, I don't know her name. She kind of threw her around a little bit, went to the opposite side of the goal. It was a pretty beautiful goal. But without those penalties, I don't know. So we got lucky with that one.
I'll tell you right now, if Team USA and Team Spain soccer teams come out with a swimsuit calendar, I'm just telling you right now, I'm buying Spain's calendar first. Those Latino women were H.O.T. smoking hot. I mean every one of them was hot. You know, we got a couple cute girls on our team, and you got a couple that, you know, have kind of that chop look, kind of that, you know, that kind of that freckly face, big nose look, you know. All them Spain girls, whoo, man.
Gorgeous all of them, right?
Mamacita.
Honey bunny, come out with a calendar. Timmy want. Timmy bye.
Timmy wants. My God.
Timmy birthday next month. Me want calendar.
Well, the next game the U.S. has got is against France, and that is going to be another game exactly like today, where Thailand, we got incredibly lucky because Thailand just, they shouldn't have been in the thing in the first place. That goalkeeper had no, like, need to be on the pitch at all. But 13-0, I mean, that's, I don't think that's ever happened before.
No.
But the French team, that's a team that's been playing for decades.
Now, your English gals, England beat Cameroon by a score of 3-0. And this game was officiated so controversially that the Cameroon women huddled and actually had a discussion on the field while the clock's running. Are we going to continue to play this game, or are we going to walk off the field?
Yeah. Really? Because the officiating was bad?
It was in their eyes, it was bad.
They said it was biased.
There was a goal that was awarded to England on a play that Cameroon felt was offside. And I know they've changed the offside rule a couple times, but the gal that they thought was offside was way over the other side of the field. It had nothing to do with where the ball was or where the play was. But that doesn't matter. It's like what happened in the hockey with Colorado and San Jose when the guy's leaving to go to the bench, but he's still technically offside. I thought offside is offside in soccer, and I thought the gal was offside. If the rule is, regardless of where she is, that's offside. So Cameroon, when they're pointing at the screen and everything, and they go to the video review, they let it stand. Then Cameroon scores a goal to tie the game. And this gal is just if she clipped her nose hairs, she wouldn't have been offside. But she had these long nose hairs. I'm kidding, sort of. But she's offside by a nose hair. I mean, she is offside by a thigh hair. Pick your body.
By an RCH?
She's offside by an RCH.
Yeah.
Well, our next one is against Norway.
And real quick, they take that goal away.
Right.
And then there was some tough tackles, and there was another, you know, a penalty kick award.
Well, they were playing dirty.
Let me tell you something. The men's game is a violent game, and these girls act like, oh, you know, we're sportsmanlike, we're this, we're that. Yeah, give me a break. These girls are coming studs up, tackling to the back of calves. They're trying to hurt people out there.
They are.
There is no doubt in my mind, Alex Morgan, the U.S. best player, she even said after the game she thinks she was fouled in the double digits. They did what we did to Erik Karlsson in the San Jose series. They tried to hit this gal, knock her down to the ground so many times that they tried to knock her out of the game. That's how dirty today's game was with USA and Spain. I've never seen a women's soccer game where women tried to knock a player out of a game.
I think they're doing that because they've got. I think they're going out there because they're saying, look, we've got something to prove.
Yep.
We are playing just as good as the men, so they want, like, you know, the equal attention, and give it to them because they're playing a very good game. I'm excited for Thursday's game against France. I'm a bit nervous because, as I said,
it's Friday.
Is it Friday? Okay.
Are you talking about your England gals, or are you talking about us U.S. babes?
I thought it was U.S. that's playing Thursday and England that's playing Friday. Is it back?
We're playing Friday.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there we are then.
Because we're playing France, and they have an extra day they have an extra day of rest. And Sweden just knocked out Canada 1-0. That game just ended, so they have advanced to the round of eight as well. So Germany will play Sweden. The USA plays France. Norway plays England. If the USA wins Friday, they'll play the winner of the Norway-England game in the Final Four. Wouldn't it be interesting, Danny Boy?
Whoa.
Big Dan. Wouldn't it be interesting?
We're out there.
If the U.S. ladies took on these Germans, the Fahrenheims,
while
we're in Germany. Can you imagine if we play the World Cup and we play Germany in the final and we're out there in Germany?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Would we get mugged if we went to like a pub somewhere? And, like, you know,
would that be cool?
Would we get mugged and robbed?
Probably.
You think? You know what we should do? We should, like, you know.
We probably should. We should go.
We should, you know.
You should go. Go take, with Pride.
Take Cleveland with us, and then, you know, and then just, like, throw him into the bar and then run out.
Sacrificial lamb.
Say, you know, get him. Take him. Take him.
Please don't take this the wrong way, Tim, but I very much doubt anybody is going to try and fight you.
No.
I very much doubt
just
that.
Just throw Cleveland in there. Go, he's a jerk. Yeah. He sucks.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Our intern, Abby Schnabel, is going to be along with the news after national news from NBC, and we'll hear from John Landoff and our tech guru, Josh Bauman. You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon with Frank Opinion, minus Frank Opinion, on 590 The Pan.
This is KMJS, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump is following through with his plans to impose tough new sanctions on Iran. The president decided not to retaliate militarily last week when Iran downed an unmanned U.S. military drone, but Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says more sanctions will punish Iran.
We have sanctions against bad behavior, and there's no question that locking this money up worked last time, and there's no question locking the money up works now.
Trump insists Iran will never get a nuclear weapon.